Hey everybody, welcome to the Morphin Grid. I'm Jake.
And I'm Josh.
And today we are watching episode 261 of Power Rangers, Power Rangers in Space, episode 11, The Delta Discovery.
It aired April 11th, 1998, written by Judd Lynn and directed by Koichi Sakamoto.
Yeah, returning champ.
Now, I say Koichi, I don't know if that's how that's pronounced. Because I think in Japanese you pronounce every letter, right? So it'd be Koichi?
Koichi? I think it might be Koichi. I also said Koichi, which is probably wrong.
I don't know a lot about Japanese pronunciation, which is very apparent if you listen to any Pokemon Spotlights.
Yeah.
except for Boober. Nailed that one.
Nailed it. Yeah, if anyone knows how to pronounce it, let us know. I think it is Koichi. I think that sounds like a name that I have heard before.
It does.
So I'm going to adjust my pronunciation accordingly. If that's super duper wrong, someone tell us.
Yep.
If you're new here, hey, everybody. Welcome to the podcast.
Everybody. How many people do you think are new here?
Hey, everybody.
Everybody.
Welcome to the new podcast that we're doing now. You new people? This new? What we do here is we pause the recording, and we go watch an episode of Power Rangers. And then we come back and we talk about it. And you can follow along if you got Netflix or the DVDs, and you should, because it ain't Terp Nomo.
That's a good enough reason as any to watch this.
Good as anything. With that, I say we go discover a Delta.
All right.
Let's rock it.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Rangers in space.
And we're back, and we just watched The Delta Discovery. And everybody, there is zero deoxys in this episode of Power Rangers.
Not a single one was found.
Because deoxys didn't exist yet. It wasn't even a thought in anybody's brain.
No. Also, deoxys is very weird for me because I should love it, but I absolutely hate it. It's got modes, so it should be my favorite Pokemon, but it just is dumb.
There are better Pokemon with better modes.
All of its modes is stupid. MorphinGrid.tumblr.com is our website. So is HeyJakeAndJosh.com. That's where the archives are. You can email us at littleidiots.morphingrid@gmail.com. We're on Twitter at MorphinGrid. We're on iTunes and Stitcher and Google Play. Maybe other places. I don't know. If you go to wherever you find this and are feeling generous, leave us a rating and review. It would help us out a bunch, and we really appreciate it. And finally, we are on Patreon, patreon.com/HeyJakeAndJosh. For as little as $1 a month, you can support the show monetarily and helps us out a bunch. You get access to, at the $5 level, you get access to everything early, everything extra. If it goes up exclusively on Patreon, like the Ted DiBiase Alien Fighter from Beverly Hills, that's only $1. So you get those for anything.
Right.
Anything past that, the $5 level is the all-access tier, which includes our new Discord, which is pretty awesome. It's a lot of cool people talking about a whole bunch of different things.
Chatting. It's just people having a... It's like a party. Everyone's just hanging out.
Yeah, it's just like a place you can go and like hang out and talk to other cool people.
Yeah, I admittedly have not been in there in quite some time. But I'll try to get better about popping in and chatting every once in a while.
I have two problems with it. Number one, I'm very busy, so I don't have time to go in there all the time. And number two, I always seem to hit the dead zone.
Yeah.
Like, I'll show up when everyone leaves. Like, I'll see it. Like, I'll get an email and be like, hey, here's what you missed on Discord. And there's like a bunch of messages.
So you don't even get that.
Well, it's weird because I think it's like per channel. It's like, here's just two. Okay. Here's a taste.
Your weekly Discord digest.
Yeah. It's like, here's a little taste. And I'm like, oh, cool. Let me go check it out. And it's a ghost town. It's like Riley, who is the mod, who is just like, I guess, like has it up like in a different window probably. And then me. And I'm like, well, let me just read what everyone was saying. And I'll like say something and I'll bounce. And then like an hour later, it'll be like, here's a bunch more people. I'm like, but I'm editing. I want to be where the people are.
Look, I would be in a little more often, but like Zelda is still fresh.
That's the other thing that's occupying a lot of my time right now.
Yeah.
Is, maybe too much of my time. Probably too much of my time, I would say. But like, boy, is it very much the best video game I've ever played, maybe.
It's very good. I don't think it tops Super Mario RPG for me, but a lot of that is those just real heavy rose-tinted goggles I have.
Right. Portal is the best gaming experience I ever had, so that's what we're living up to, and it's coming close. Anyway, at the risk of cutting another 12 minutes of Zelda talk like I did from one of the last couple episodes...
Whoops.
Oops, all berries. Anyway, that's where you can find us, and that's how you can help us out. We have an email.
Okay.
From Alberto, Mexico's greatest export.
See, I almost made a Del Rio joke where I was like, I think I do that every time, so I didn't, but that's all right, because you had it.
Yeah, I had it in the chamber. Alberto says, hey guys, last episode you asked what the deal, this is, okay, by the way, we're ahead. We're recording ahead, so this is late, sorry. Like, that's how, this is how it's going to be until, like, the second week of April. Last episode, you asked what the deal was with Ecliptor's counterpart in Mega Ranger and why he kept coming back. In Mega Ranger, his counterpart is named Ugande, and I want to point out, Alberto did put in a pronunciation guide. Thank you so much.
Oh, very nice. Yes. We need that.
We super duper need that. He is a robot warrior created by Dr. He didn't put one for this one. Heinalar? I'm going to say Heinalar. The main bad to serve as chief enforcer and general. After his first defeat, he was rebuilt with an upgraded and more powerful body called Ugande Relive. Noticeably different was the larger twisted shoulder pauldron and his forearm. In Space never explained where his new body came from, so it's assumed that Astronomer just had him rebuilt. His final form is called Ugande Strong, comes after the betrayal by Geralt. And then a spoiler, and then it says spoiler, reader, and there's like some spoiler stuff. Like, I mean, I know it. You know it. As regards to some stuff that happens, but we're not going to talk about it on the podcast.
We'll talk about it when it happens.
When it happens. Because it's like real cool stuff. Lastly, he says the reason why Teeter's axe is so small is because it's actually a tomahawk. So that makes a lot of sense.
That, yeah, it's like a hatchet, not an axe. You can't just call it an astro hatchet.
Yeah.
Astro hatchet. Hasbro hatchet, because it's a toy.
It is. I don't know if it was Hasbro. I think it was Bandai.
So it was.
So they wouldn't call it hatchet. That would be marketing suicide. Carlos went from green to black because in Sentai, the green or black ranger of the team is typically the strong man. And while I agree that TJ should have been the black ranger due to his tight abs and being the actual second in command, I assume they didn't in order to avoid the Zach mistake again and due to laziness on the color switch. We've had a lot of people talk about and comment on that, is that, like, it was probably too fresh at that point.
Yeah.
And, like, they were probably getting a lot of flack from nerds, you know?
This is, like, cusp of the internet age.
Yeah, this is point. 1998. The internet existed, but you had to go to, like, your aunt's work to use it.
Yeah, like, maybe your mom's boyfriend had the internet at his house.
Yeah.
That's me.
In 1998?
That's my life. Yeah, but here's what we had to do, because it was dial-up.
You had to crank it.
You have to crank it, and then you have to, like, you didn't have to do this, I guess. You could just go on it. But he would have us, like, redirect his phone line to his cell phone. And I still don't know exactly how that works, but you can do it so it, like, forwards phone calls.
That sounds like black magic to me.
So, because if you're on dial-up, you can't also have a phone call.
Yeah, oh, man, it was at least 2003, and there was still dial-up. It was getting better, but it was still dial-up.
Yeah.
And I was at my aunt's house with my friend Eli playing Neopets. What else are you gonna do in 2003 on the internet? And our Josh, the other Josh, was coming over, and we knew him, and we invited him over, but we weren't friends yet. We were friendly, but not friends. But we didn't realize that the phone will be tied up. So he can't call. So he just it was raining, and he was outside my aunt's house, looking in the window. And that's how my aunt met Josh.
Yeah, that was either 98 or 99, because it was no later than 2000, because we moved there in 2001.
Yeah. I don't know.
Man, it was just so different.
It was just so different.
So you redirect the phone through weird
arcane
magic
channels.
And then you have to listen to the dial-up noise for 20 minutes while it connects to America Online.
Yeah. I never had that. I had Earthlink. That was at my house. I don't remember what my aunt had. I don't. It wasn't. Maybe a Netscape Navigator.
Yeah, but that's not the internet. That's just a browser.
Yeah. So was Earth. No, Earthlink was actually our provider. I don't know how the internet works still, alone back then.
So you fire up your internet. Then you fire up your AOL Instant Messenger, obviously, so you can talk to all your friends.
I never had AOL Instant Messenger.
I don't understand that.
I never had. My internet was too bad. And it was just
too bad for basic text messaging.
Yeah, at my house, it was garbage.
It took 2 hours to download a picture of Power Rangers.
Hey, real quick, why are we talking about dial-up internet?
Because I don't know. I don't know how we got here.
Anyway, thank you for the email, Alberto. Very, very illuminating. Because we were talking about how like it was fresh because it was only 5 years removed and it was barely the internet age.
Right. I was saying they got to the, it was like just at the cusp of the internet age, so they were probably starting to get like emails.
Yeah. A more convenient mail about it. Yeah.
The trolls were coming out.
Right. So it makes sense. I just still think, and like in this episode, there's like a lot of like Carlos in charge stuff, and he's not good at voiceovers still. And like TJ's not great, but he would have had more practice.
Yeah.
And I was like, I wish we would have just did the thing. I wish we would have just done that. But it is what it is, as Stone Cold Steve Austin says.
They didn't do that.
Nope.
It was 19 years ago.
So. Nothing we can do now. Are you ready to talk about Delta Discovery?
Yep.
Okay. We start off on a Piranatron camp. There's a bunch of pitons standing around. I thought it was a camp. It's not like a camp. It's like a site. There's stuff happening.
Yeah, this is a place with Piranatrons.
But I was like, oh, they're just like hanging out now. But no, they're here on business. This is not for pleasure. They're on some alien tropical planet. Because half the planets are desert and the other half are just the tropics.
It's like a jungle, kind of, yeah. But like with palm trees.
Yeah, palm tree jungle. Everyone's favorite.
It's somebody's backyard in like Florida.
I feel like, well, it's in California, and I feel like it's just like, oh, if we go like a little bit north of LA, we hit this weird park that's got like a lot of
it's
forestry.
Just like, it's densely kind of like ferns and palm trees.
Yeah. It does. It could be like just like a backyard in Florida, though. Like Florida's buck wild as far as that goes. Divatox is there, and she has Zordon in his tube. And his tube's plugged in, and there's like on the bottom, like a little bit of red is coming up. Mm-hmm. They're pumping in the red.
It's like,
I thought it was lava when I was a kid.
It's like lava, but it's also more like just like a fire texture.
Yeah. It's just bad. It's badness.
Yeah,
it's liquid.
It's liquid Babadook. Evil.
Yeah, liquid evil.
It doesn't look good. It's not like a great effect.
No, they're doing their best.
And Zordon is awkwardly mute.
He says nothing. He's like, I'm not giving you anything. I feel like Zordon would at least try to talk his way out of this.
He needs new lines, and they haven't found anyone that can kind of sound like him yet.
Hey, you could hire David Fielding.
Yeah, he'll record a couple Zordon lines.
That dude loves Zordon. That dude's internet handle.
He loves it now that he's touring cons and making a lot of money off of being Zordon. I don't know if he's always been like that.
Okay, all right. Because I was saying, like, his Twitter handle is definitely has the word Zordon in it.
It does.
So they load him up. Well, they put like a sheet over him so they can stop paying for this special effect. And they tip him over, and like six Piton pallbearers like carry him away. And we see in the bushes the Phantom Ranger.
Yeah, there's just like a quick like black flash behind Divatox.
Yeah, and also a Piranatron sees the Phantom Ranger, and that dude should get a raise. So then,
I don't know if you know this about the Phantom Ranger, but he has the ability to go double invisible.
I don't want to talk about it, Josh. We're a season removed, and I still don't want to talk about it.
He can go invisible, and then he can go invisible again.
That doesn't make any sense. Stop it. He records a message and is whispering, and like the background noise is the same, but he's quiet. And I just thought there was some real bad audio error.
It's very bad sound design because the actor's not whispering. They just lowered his volume.
Yeah, just have him whisper and raise that, because like this, no matter how loud it is, still feels like a whisper.
Right.
Like that's fine. You don't have to have him be like, hi there, but like it's like,
yeah, and then in post they're like, turn him down.
Turn him down way so Jake in 20 years goes nuts. Cause I'm very aware of audio stuff now.
Yeah.
Weird, huh? Turns out if you do enough podcasts for a long enough time, you become persnickety about that. So he has it's like this little like camera. It's not a camera, it's like a thing with a red light on it.
It's like a hologram unit taken out of an R2-D2.
A holo camera, pretty much, yeah. So he has it, he attaches it to a gun, and then he's about to fire it, and Divatox shows up, and I think blasts his hand.
Yeah.
And he's like, ouch, come on. And then a bunch of Piranatrons attack him, and they fight, there's like a tussle, and he pulls the gun up, and he's like, and then fires it off, and it fires the little camera part into space. and it rockets, I guess, just forever and broadcasts the message to everyone?
I don't know, but Decca heard it, so that's good.
Yeah, she says, I've intercepted a message. So intercepted just means like, hey, I caught it while it was coming this way. Like, who knows who else could have got it, including probably Astronema, as we'll see in a minute.
Yeah.
So then we cut to the theme song, and then when we come back, Ashley is on the console, and she's like, I'm playing the message now. And like, it plays, and or maybe that's before? No, okay, it's right now. So she's like, it's from the Phantom Ranger, and it just pans immediately over to Cassie.
And she's all like, oh. She like looks off to the side like, oh, the Phantom Ranger.
The Phantom Ranger.
My secret boyfriend, the Phantom Ranger.
I wonder if he thinks about me. And then...
Oh, we'll find out.
Oh, we'll find out. Just you wait. So then they're like, he's like, hey, I'm on this planet. Zordon's here. You got to come. And they're like, all right, set a course for Herculon, I think.
I don't know.
You know. So they fly there, or they set a course, and then we cut back to the fight. And now there's like 100 Piranatrons beating up the Phantom Ranger, who's like... holding his own, but only because the Piranatrons are only attacking two or three at a time.
Yeah.
Like, they're doing, like, mook tactics and not, like, just pigpile him till we crush his body. So he gets away by turning invisible, like he does. Classic Phantom Ranger prank. Runs away into the woods, into the jungle forest, and then...
Yes, the jungle forest of Herculon 5.
Of Herculon 5. Was it Herculon 5?
I just made that
I
up.
Feel like it was.
I feel like it needs a number on it for maximum spacitude.
Can you imagine, real quick, this is a problem I've always had with sci-fi stuff, is like when there's like a set of planets, like this is Herculon 5, and this is a Herculon Prime through 5 or whatever. That would be real weird, right?
Yes.
That'd be like if there were 6 towns in a row named Austin.
Austin Prime.
And we're in Austin
2, 3,
Prime.
4, 3,
yeah.
5.
That would just be real weird. But like in sci-fi, it's just like, it's fine. This is Farfanarf 7. And everyone's cool with that. Except me.
You're like, oh yeah, I've been to Farfanarf 5. It's a pretty nice. It's not as nice as 7.
It's not 7. We definitely got it right by 7.
Yeah, 5's a good economy vacation spot.
Yeah. It's affordable, Farfanarf number 5. Don't go to Farfanarf 3. That's a ripoff.
No.
It's a tourist trap. I don't know why. I feel like I've had that like in my head, like that I was like, why do they do this? Since I first saw the movie Chronicles of Riddick, where there is a series of planets like that. And I was like, why? Just name them different things. There's so many words. You can name them anything.
There are millions of words.
And you can just make up new words if you want to name it something new.
Yeah, just jam some sounds together, man. You got yourself a Sheikah shrine.
Yeah. So he's running through the woods. And he gets intercepted by Astronema. She just, like, teleports down in front of him. Is like, not so fast, Star Fox.
can't let you do that, Phantom Ranger.
Fanty. So she taunts him by being like, hey, it doesn't matter what happened. Like, you're not getting Zordon back. And then shoots him to, like, prove her point.
Yeah, because she's like, oh, the Phantom's alone? And then it, like, just pans to him being like, Oh no.
Oh crap. She got me.
And then it's like a super tight close up of her face, and she's like, good, and just shoots him.
Yeah. Pretty great. Astronema is very competent in this episode, and I love it.
Like, and then she's like, Quantrons finish him off, and I'm like, you could just do it.
You could just probably stab him one time with your very scary spear and kill him to death for real.
I was looking at that spear and I'm like, that would be a weapon I did not use in Zelda.
I would use that weapon because I love spears.
I would not use it because it's cool looking and I wouldn't want it to break.
they being the Piranatrons that were carrying, like the pallbearer Piranatrons, like finally get to a ship and there's no loading sequence. They just like walk up to the ship and they're and the Quantrons like escorted them after like she stopped Phantom Ranger. And they get to the ship and they like look up and they just teleport. It's like, you could have done that from back there.
Like, no, that ship doesn't have very strong teleport.
It's like a down tractor beam.
Yeah,
and that's it.
It's like a 6 foot boop.
I thought there was gonna be like a truck. I don't know why. I just thought it'd be real
load
funny.
Load it like a movie.
Put him in a U-Haul
and drive it up onto a spaceship.
Yeah. Because like obviously they're not opening this spaceship. It's like not real. It's superimposed. I was like, that would be funny if there's just like a scene of a truck going into a ship in the Sentai, and they're like, we gotta match it.
Give Cassie the pigtails again. We got footage.
We got
match.
Footage. Oh, what an awful look that was. We cut to the Dark Fortress, where I thought they just teleported immediately to the Dark Fortress, but that's not what happened. We're just there, and Elgar and like 4 Quantrons are just like fighting over a console. Like, who gets to press a button?
Sure.
And then the Power Rangers like fly by, and he sees that on the monitor. So he calls Astronema.
On an actual telephone.
On like a Pokemon style telephone where it has a, it's like half Skype, like half a phone.
It's like an old style handset. Yeah. Like attached to a video screen.
A corded phone with video. We could be living in that future. Just think about that for a second.
That would be so bizarre. If Apple didn't make iPhones, what would the future be like? What would this time be like?
Here's the thing. We'd still have cell phones, but none
of would the phone with a computer screen on it be a thing?
I don't think so. I think BlackBerries would still be around with like the full keyboard and the the phone part. I had one that was like I always wanted a T-Mobile Sidekick because Veronica Mars had one, and it just
is that the one you can like
the big flip and like it flips over? Yeah,
because I had one. I don't remember what it was called, but it was like a candy bar style.
Yes.
But you could slide it up and there's a full QWERTY.
I had one of those keyboard. Too. It was like an LG nothing.
Yeah, it was an LG
phone.
Keypad.
Key phone. Yeah, but I was one of the side because they were big. And like Veronica Mars had one, and that's literally the extent of it. I was like, that's cool. I like Veronica Mars. I want that phone.
Remember when the Razor came out?
Yeah, dude. Jacob Berardi got a Razor, and I was I wasn't jealous because I was like, I don't need a cell phone. Like, I didn't get a cell phone until I was like 19. I was in college. My little brother had one before I did, but like he got that Razor, and I was like, it's so thin, and it's thicker than this. It's twice the thickness of the phone that I am using right now.
Yeah,
and this also has the entire internet on it.
Yep,
and two dots, which I play a lot. No, two dots on the Razor. Up your game. He calls Astronema on the weird Skype corded phone. And he's like, hey, you'll never guess what I just saw. And she's like, the Power Rangers? And he's like, yep, you're the best boss I ever had. Or the smartest boss I ever had.
Smartest.
And Dude talks to this a foot behind her. And he's like, hey, is that Elgar? Hey, what do you mean the best boss?
Yeah, she's like, what are you doing with her? Like,
and then she like grabs the phone out of Astronema's hand and like gets up in the camera and is like, starts yelling at him. And we don't really hear what she says because Elgar like ducks behind something. He's like, if you'd like to make a call, please hang up and try again.
He just hangs up on her.
Yeah, it's great. But also, I love it. He's like, hey, I just saw something. And she's like, Power Rangers? He's like, Power Rangers. Like, we've seen the show. We know how this goes. David Tucker's like, gets in Astronema's face for, I guess, being a more competent, better boss. And is
for
like
stealing her nephew.
That she hated.
She didn't really hate him.
And she's like, I'm going to. And then Dark Spectre appears like, hey, no, cut it out. And so they like disengage. Astronema also was like not giving her an inch like, she's just like, like
just like completely
stone faced.
Yeah. Unaffected.
Yeah. So great.
Because she knows. She's like, I could just knock you. I could take you right out.
I could destroy you.
Destroy you!
So then, Dark Spectre is like, attack Earth, and the Power Rangers will go there to stop it.
Yeah,
so
we can like, they cannot get Zordon. Go attack Earth, please. So, and then it's like, Divatox, take Zordon away.
Yeah, you escort Zordon. And then she says something. I forget what it was. She's like, about time or something like that.
I never get the good assignments.
Yeah, yeah. And he was like, because he was turning away. He's like a big floating, like, and he was like turning away. I was like, what was that? And she's like, nothing. I love you. Gotta go.
I love you. You're so handsome.
You look so handsome in that lava, which is a good joke. And she's like, let's go. Get out of here. We gotta get out of here. So then we cut to the Phantom Ranger who like sees the ship with Zordon on it fly away and is like, still fighting Piranatrons. Like, there's still, like, Piranatrons and Quantrons, like, 100 of them just, like, fighting him. And he's like, oh, crap, Zordon's got away. And then, as he's, like, lamenting this, Clippy, out of nowhere, just, like, jumps in and, like, cuts him with the sword.
Yeah.
And is like, all right, everyone get out of here. I'll kill the Phantom Ranger. This is what I like to do.
As soon as all the Quantrons and Piranatrons leave, he draws back his sword and the Power Rangers show up and shoot him.
It's like immediately. And he's like, you jerks. Like
here's what you could have done instead, Ecliptor. Just killed him without telling everyone to leave. Yeah, just stab him
real
quick.
Or just be like, everyone get to the side.
Yeah. They were still kind of attacking him, but as soon as Ecliptor showed up, they all started just watching.
Yeah.
So he could have just ran him through and it would have been done.
Yeah, but instead he waited and then the Power Rangers showed up.
Too much pageantry, man. That's the downfall of evil.
Yeah, that's like, the Power Rangers have like way less numbers, but they got teamwork. because the bad guys just can't seem to get it together, and they like can.
They're just not they're cocky just, like yeah. The bad
they just
guys
like
are.
Do the job that they need to do. So then he's like, I don't care. There could be 100 of you. I'm still gonna kill all you right now. And he draws his sword, and then Strom's like, come back, we got a thing. And he's like, next time though, for real.
You.
So then he leaves, and Andros calls Alpha, and is like, did you catch his vapor trail? Can you track him? And Alpha, in the most dramatic, unnecessary moment, is like, I had his vapor trail, but now it's gone.
What?
Like, okay. Yeah, okay.
Like, he's like punching some keys and looking at a screen, and then he turns away, and the camera zooms in. He's like, it's gone.
Like, it's a dramatic reveal, but, like, we don't know what it means.
Yeah, it does, like, yeah, so you can't track the ship. Like, yeah. We get it, but, like, we didn't expect you to track the ship anyway.
Yeah, why was it so, why are you being so dramatic?
Like, and it was unnecessarily dramatic, because he didn't have to say, I did have it.
Yeah.
Like, they just made it that way.
They just wanted Alpha to be, like, frantic for a minute. That's weird. So then we get a shot of the Earth, by which I mean, we get a shot of Africa. Like, the entire continent, right in frame, perfectly viewable, and then we cut down to Earth, and I don't know if you've watched television before.
I have, once or twice.
But how establishing shots work is you show the place that you're going to go to, and then you go to that place. And everyone on the planet Earth who has seen any television shows knows that that is how it works. So, like, we zoomed down, and I was like, are we on Africa? We can't be. It's a bunch of yuppies fishing. Like,
but then
what
an alligator
is
popped out of the water, and it's like, well, maybe.
Maybe we are in Africa. Why are these people here? What is going on? Turns out this is Angel Grove Lake, but why did you just show a big old picture of Africa then?
I don't know.
It's so weird. It also looked bigger than it is in real life.
It was definitely.
It was like a half of the planet.
Yeah.
Which is, I think,
Africa's
wrong.
A pretty big continent, but it's not like top to bottom
it doesn't
of a hemisphere.
Go, it doesn't go toe to tip, yeah. No. Then we cut to the Phantom Ranger, like back to the Phantom Ranger and the Power Rangers, and they're like, he's like, ugh, you have to go to save your planet, but here is some new Zords.
Oh, look, I did the same thing this time.
Here's my primary function as a character. And he hands him this, like,
it's a compact disc,
but it's in
like a floppy drive case.
Yeah. See, what I thought it was at first was like a hard drive, like a new, like, my book hard drive that fits in the palm of your hand. But then what I thought it was is in James Bond movies and probably other movies where you're in a casino betting, but mostly I know it from Bond, is instead of having chips when you're playing at high enough a level, like, you have these like card things, essentially.
Yeah.
And I was like, is it one of those? But no, it's like an oblong case for a tiny CD.
Yeah, and you just like flip it open. It's got a GameCube disc in it.
Yeah, I love that. I wish all compact discs were that size. I don't know why. I just, maybe it's because my favorite game console is the GameCube, and I just have a big affection for those tiny, tiny discs. But this is a hard drive for the Delta Megaship, or this is the disc for the controls for the Delta Megaship to, like, boot it up. It's a startup program. And they're like, all right.
Yeah, the Delta Megaship is floating through space. This is the operating system for it.
You gotta upload the OS.
You need to install this.
Yeah. So they're like, all right, we gotta split up. Andrew says this. He's like, I'm gonna go get the Delta ship. You go to Earth, and the Phantom Ranger go track Zordon? I feel like that comes up now, but the Phantom Ranger has been stabbed in his gut from...
We don't see that until the Rangers leave.
Right.
Because he's like, holding it, holding his ribs, like, oh man, I got punched out.
I did get hurt a lot in my ribs, but it's much worse than we thought. He's like, all right, I'll go do that. And like, okay, break. And they all split up, and the Rangers go back to Earth. And then Andros hops on his galaxy glider to go find the Delta Megaship. And then we get this like reveal.
Yeah, he takes his hand off his ribs, and like his stuffing comes out.
Yeah, it looks like. Like a low-budget alien brain?
Sort of, yeah.
Like, I don't know what is stuffed inside the suit.
It looks kind of like a little bit of, like, teddy bear stuffing, but, like, with some wires in it?
Yeah. Is he a robot?
He might be a robot. It's like insulation and wires.
Yeah.
I think he's probably a robot.
I think the Phantom Ranger might be a robot, and that's disappointing.
Hey, we'll never be told for sure.
Right. Hey, here's, okay, two people can answer this question. Either A, the new Power Rangers movie, when you're on your fourth movie of eight or nine or whatever that you want to do, maybe do the Phantom Ranger right. I don't think you're going to get there.
If you do, you're not going to do the Phantom Ranger right. You're
not going to do it right. You couldn't even get the amount of legs that a Mastodon has, right? So, like... And anyway, we're going to have a whole episode on that in the coming weeks, so, like, I won't talk about it anymore. Or B, the comic books, which I'm very behind on. They were getting good, and then they got bad again for a second, and then they were getting good again. Like, they finally, like, got that, like, oh, they're a team. How about we do that? Like, they're friends, too. That should be a feature of the comic book. But, like, when you get there, do the Phantom Ranger right. Because I would like that very much. Because he got done dirty by Terp, and then very much by In Space. I think he comes back one more time, but I don't know.
He might. This episode is the last thing I remember of him, but that does not mean that he's not back again.
I think in the finale where it's, like, all hands.
Yeah.
I think he might be in that. But
all hands except for any other... Power Ranger, like any of the Rangers that have connection with Zordon.
They're busy. Anyway, he faints. He pulls his hand off, his stuffing comes out, and then he does this big dramatic fall to his knees and collapse.
Yeah, it's not quite as bad as Carlos's, where he like bent the wrong way.
Yeah.
but it's definitely like the GoldenEye 007 death animation.
Right. Anyway, so we cut to the lake where the alligator monster, who has like a big snake arm, like it's a tail. It's like a tail for an arm, which I'm noticing a lot of these Mega Ranger baddies have, like, one of their arms is weird. That seems to be a gimmick of a lot of them.
Yep.
It's because they're all Mega Man X characters.
Right, yeah. They're all Mavericks.
Yeah. This is Swamp Gator. And the last one was
Bee Stinger.
B dot Stinger.
Yeah.
So it's at Angel Grove Lake. It's terrorizing some people. The Rangers show up. We cut the Sentai footage, and they were at a lakeside, and now they're like on a patio of a restaurant or something. But it attacks them. It gives TJ the whole business. It like jumps him, puts TJ's head in its mouth, and is like gator rolling with it. And then Carlos is like trying to get him off, but he's just like kicking him in the stomach, like, hey, come on, get out of here. Get out. Hey.
Let go of my friend.
Please let go of my friend. You're being very rude right now. And it's not doing anything. So the girls are like, all right, we'll take care of this. They pull out their guns and shoot it. And that like gets him off of TJ.
And that also triggers Astronema. She's like, grow him.
Astronema's like, sadly, it's right now. Like, he fell down once. Let's just do the dang thing.
It's really weird, because I thought, like, because this was, like, 5-10 seconds long. It's like, he shows up, chomps TJ, gets shot, he grows.
Yeah.
It's very fast. I was like, really? That's it? Like, he doesn't even get a name?
No.
And he doesn't.
I called him Gator Boy in my notes, and then later, well, we'll see. Here we go.
Okay.
So they, because this Zord fight also gets to the point real quick. So, Saddle Lasers, he grows. They get in their Zord. Also, again, a lot of Carlos like calling stuff, being like, Astro Megazord, Power Ship. And it's like, buddy.
Oh, it's like a speaking spell.
He's like a speaking spell with dying batteries sometimes. it's like, buddy, take another try. Like, do it one more again. So they grow, or they get in their Zords. He's grown. They pull out their saber and they do the charge and the slash.
He's like a slime.
He like splits into two. I'm trying. What's when your cells divide?
Cellular division. Mitosis? No.
Mitosis is the powerhouse of the cell. That's mitochondria.
They're off the scale.
I don't know.
Mitochondria is what gives you the force.
That's maybe. We don't know. Prequels are bad. Prequels are bad because they are just poison.
What if the space magic was a virus?
Well, yeah, what if it's just a blood type?
Oh, George Lucas needs a wife to filter his
good
ideas.
Job, George. Real, you showed him. You showed him. Anyway.
You showed him you could make three bad Star Wars.
Yeah, job, no, buddy. They said it couldn't be done. They laughed at you at the Academy, but then you did it. So they cut him. He splits into two. I'm never going to... It's whatever the opposite of osmosis is. It's cellular division. What's it called that? They split into two. One of them slightly lighter, and has a bitey hand. The other one is the same one, but has a snake tail hand.
Yeah.
And then I started calling them the Gator Boys.
There's Snalligator and Snookadile. Snockadile.
Snockadile. Snookadile is if Snooki
was also a crocodile.
Power Rangers, free idea. That's all yours.
There you go. Put that in movie three.
Put that in movie three. I really like Snooki. Like, I think she's super funny, like, as a person. I would love to see her play an alligator monster. I feel like that would be awesome. So
it has to be like she was touching an alligator and Zed zapped both of them and made one monster.
Oh, they're going to do Zed next, aren't they?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no. On the upside, he's already gross.
There's a thing. I think it's on IMDb or it's on Ranger Wiki or something. So, like, that's all
conjecture.
Anyone can edit that. So take it with a grain of salt. But Latasha showed it to me and it was like a plot synopsis. You want me to tell you what it was?
Of the movie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Basically, what this said the plot of the movie is that Rita is trying to find the Zeo crystal for her master Lord Zed, who last time he almost got it. It was too much power and it blew off half his face.
Just half.
Yeah, so he's not like all muscles. But like, isn't that a fan theory? Is that that's why Zed has no skin?
That's, yeah. I think it's like semi-textual. It's like he talked about trying to get it and then and then Goldar said something about his skin, maybe.
So the Zeo crystal may or may not be,
hey guys,
the plot point.
I very much doubt that. I very much doubt that.
I think if it is, though, like, maybe that could be neat.
It could be. If they get some, if they sneak some Power Rangers into this movie, that would be pretty cool, huh? Anyway, they cut him into any splits, and then we cut from there. They're like, oh, beans. And then we cut from there to Andros surfing through some asteroids. And then I think we cut back to the Power Rangers just like getting punched, but it's not important enough to warrant a whole note. So I didn't. So we cut back. He finds a Delta megaship. I like how this looks because it's floating next to a planet. Could be anything. It's Earth. It could be any planet.
It's Earth.
It's super duper Earth.
No other planet looks like that.
No. I mean, well, yes, there is another one we saw. It was just Earth, but not Earth. It's in this case, this like,
It's just like a bunch of construction girders.
It's like scaffolding around. Yeah. Yeah, it looks cool because like I didn't realize, like, it doesn't look like a ship. It looks like a structure of some sort.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, that's really neat. So he gets onto there and he's like, Phantom Ranger, I'm here. Phantom's like, yeah, I wasn't passed out.
I'm good.
Wait, what's up? What's up, Andros? How's it going? And he's like, I'm in the ship. What do I do? He's like, probably the control room. He's like, okay. And he looks around and can't find anything. But then he says, oh, I see a passage. I didn't see a passage.
Because I feel like the Phantom Ranger is like, go to the control room. It looks like something. I didn't hear what the something was.
I don't remember.
Andros is like looking around and like, this everything in this room looks the same. And he's like, oh, there it is.
Yeah. Well, there's like two like tanks looking things, like industrial tanks. And he looks at one, he's like, there's a passage. But I think he was looking past it. And I just like, my eye was like wandering.
I didn't see any like passages.
No, unless it's a hallway.
Unless it was like sealed by a door and he was like, oh, there's the passage, as in like there's the door,
the way there. Yeah. I don't know. Either way, he goes there, he starts heading towards the control room and he like runs off. We cut back to the Power Rangers. They're getting beaten like a rug. Like, literally, they have the arms and legs of the Megazord and they're doing that like when you shake out like a rug thing, but with a Zord, and they're just like smashing it onto the ground. And the Rangers inside are like, oh no, we're losing power, what's going on? But they're so nonchalant about it.
And guys, you are getting face slammed into the dirt repeatedly.
You are getting murked, and you're like, just like, oh, well, just, oh, we lost power.
Sticky wicket ourselves in.
Ruh-roh. So then we cut back to Andros, who gets to the control room, and he's like, he hits a button, and these two CD slots rotate up. They're like, at like, some playgrounds, remember there'd be like a bingo, like a freestanding bingo thing. You have to like roll the letters, the X's and the O's. It's like one of those, but sideways, and only two of them. And it like rolls up, and there's arrows pointing upwards. He's like, Phantom Ranger, which one do I do? And Phantom Ranger's like, you gotta put it in the primary one. And he's like, but there's two slots.
And they're like right next to each other, and they're not labeled.
And then Phantom Ranger passes out.
So now Andros is like, oh, which slot? And he's like, oh, no. And I'm very confused of why he's panicking so much. Like, just try one, dude.
There's nothing
because
pressing.
He says put it in the primary slot.
Yeah.
But he does. There's no drama of, like, one of them starts it and one of them blows
right.
it up. That is never said. So it's like, try it. If it's wrong, eject it and do the other
right,
one.
That's what I said. Just like hit the eject button, like do it again. But then TJ comes on. He's like, we're losing power. Andros, can you hurry up, please? Again, super chill, super
yeah,
cash.
Oh, excuse me, Andros. We're getting our butts like just whooped.
We basically have both of our arms and legs ripped off. So like, if you could help, I mean, at your own convenience.
If it's convenient for you.
Whatever like, you get a chance.
I mean, we're the Power Rangers. We'll be fine.
So Andros, Andros puts the thing in the one on the left. Which is the one that I thought it was.
Which is the first or primary.
Yeah. Well, in Japan, they go backwards, right?
That's how they well, I guess so.
So then they would have it oriented that way. I think they go backwards in Japan.
Is this Japanese footage?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Totally, yeah. They didn't. This is a nice set.
I couldn't tell. Yeah, like if it's a dark scene, I can't tell if like if the footage is lower or not.
Right. That makes sense. So then he points it in there and it starts a countdown.
It's like events will take place in 10.
Yeah.
Nine,
and he's like, oh God,
eight.
What have I done? And you said that, okay, so the countdown goes down. And
it reaches zero, and the voice is like, security disk scan complete.
Yeah. You said that's the everything's fine alarm.
Why would you make all that
Why
noise if
that
you're
exist?
Just scanning a disk?
It's just like, yeah, it's a disk, but like, hold on.
I don't know if it's right. Wait a sec.
Imagine if, and a lot of people might not have, if you have a newer computer, you probably don't have a CD drive on your computer, but like a lot of people listening probably remember putting a CD into a computer at some point in their life to like burn it into their iTunes or whatever. Yeah. You put it in there. And imagine the whole time it's like, get in the first one!
Woo, woo, woo!
All right, go to the second one! And you're like, okay, all right. You don't need to do that.
All right, I'm never importing music again. This
yeah,
is ridiculous.
I'm just going to steal it from the internet for now. But then it gets down, and it's fine. And it was just like, scan done.
Yeah, here's your Delta Mega Ship. Good job, Andros.
And they're like, all right, Delta Mega Ship's a go. And then we get a shot of the outside of it, and all the scaffolding like shoots off of it, and there's like a ship inside. And it like fires off, and Andros isn't driving it, so I guess this has like pre-programmed instructions. So it flies there. The others are basically dead. They're like on the ground, and the two, like the Gator boys, are just like you want to still play with your food a little bit? Like they're like, not doing anything because they're like, we got this in the bag. Delta Megazord, like in Atmo, it starts like transforming. It like flips over and then like, you know, separates and stuff.
Yeah, so it lands a man.
Yeah, it lands a man. The Delta Megazord, and then and the other ship like stands up, like the Astro Megazord stands up, and they're like, all right,
so
let's do this now. The odds are even.
This is weird for a second. Because they're down, and the Delta Megazord lands. And then, like, Carlos and TJ, and probably all four of them, are like, what is that? What could this possibly be?
And then...
And, like, you were just talking to Andros about, hey, get the Delta Megazord here. And now it's here, and you're like, what's this?
What is this Delta Megazord? And then Andros pops in to the Astro Megazord, and is like, hey, I got it. And I got a Battleizer. So, like, getting close to the muscle butt suit.
It's a... It's a remote control for the Delta Megazord.
Yeah, and so he's like, all right, he hits a button.
Also,
and then,
at one point while he was space surfing, it was definitely just like a major butt shot.
There was like two that you said, like, I didn't notice him because I was taking notes, but you're like, there's a butt shot. There's another butt shot.
The first one's a full body shot, but he's turned with his butt pointed at the camera. It's like, look at these sweet cheeks.
Look at these glutes. Got them glutes.
And then the other one, like, he turns around, his whole butt is just like in the camera for a minute.
So at least... It's an equal opportunity butt showing.
Not just
it's not just astronomer. So that's nice.
And don't worry, because when he gets that muscle butt suit.
Oh, boy.
Man, they just love that muscle butt.
Love that muscle butt. It's like if TJ's abs were a butt.
Because it goes through like all his muscles, and one of the shots is just his ass.
It's like in Batman and Robin, where it's like, you know, cape, belt. Nipples, butt.
Oh, that's my favorite head, shoulders, knees, and toes.
So, Andros, this is also my favorite thing in the episode. Andros comes in, and TJ turns around and goes, Andros, wow. That's it. That's all he gives him. That's it. And this is before Andros has said, like, I have the balance where I can control the remote.
Andros, wow.
Did everyone take a bunch of Quaaludes before fighting in this Megazord battle?
Oh, my God.
Everyone accidentally drank two cups of Robitussin. And they're just like, all right, Andros, wow.
Okay, I'm done. Go on with help me. Oh, God.
All right, I'll try to forge forward.
Oh.
So they pose. I don't know what they do. They do like a pose. The at some point earlier, the after they split
I just remembered it. Oh, it was so close. I thought it was good. Okay.
Earlier, the Astro Megazord pulled out the gun and was like shooting at him, and nothing was working. So this time, there's the Delta Megazord and the Astro Megazord, and the Astro Megazord is shooting at it with a gun. I don't know what the Delta Megazord does, because I do not remember.
Oh, the Delta Megazord has two Gatling guns instead of hands.
Oh, that's ballin'.
And so he just shoots him with those.
It's like a red puncher.
Yeah.
So they were the Gator Boys. They said, see you later, boys.
Stop.
So now they're dead. And then...
They said, see you, Ranger Boys.
They like pose, like, yeah, we did it. It only almost destroyed us, but we did it. Then we cut back to somewhere in the universe. Astronema is in front of like a rock face, and Dark Spectre is in the sky chewing her out. And he's like, hey, that was so close. Like, you're lucky we got away with the Zordon.
He's not chewing her out for the monsters dying. Like, that was the plan.
They were fodder.
Get the Rangers away from this planet.
Right.
But she's like, don't you ever let them, Dark Spectre is like, don't you ever let them get that close again, or I will crush the Dark Fortress while you sleep.
Yeah, because she's like, I have a plan to stop them once and for all. And then he's like, cool, but if you mess up again, I will destroy your bedroom while you're sleeping in it.
Astronema's plan is to send Ashley's grandma to Angel Grove.
That's two episodes from now. I cannot wait. We cut back to the Power Rangers. They land back on Herculon 5. And they are looking for the Phantom Ranger, and they're like, everyone start yelling for him. So they're like, Phantom Ranger! Phantom Ranger! And he's not there, but there is another little
like a hologram, like,
video hologram projector thing. And it literally, like, Star Wars out, hey, I went to go look for him. I didn't die like when you saw me last. Like,
yeah, the last thing we see of the physical Phantom Ranger is him collapsing on the ground and stopping moving.
Yeah. Like,
I don't know if that's great grammar, but he's not moving. He looks dead.
He dead. And so then they see this video and he's like, I went to go find Zordon. You have to keep protecting Earth, et cetera, et cetera. I forget exactly what he says. He just basically tells them, like, I had to go. They power down and they're like, oh, and like Cass is like, oh, I still have a thing for him.
Oh, yeah. And TJ like pats her on the shoulder, like, come on.
He's like,
he's like, you've collectively seen him in person for like, what, an hour?
A total of an hour, maybe. So they all start walking away. Cassie, like, lingers for a second. And then the message pops back up. And he's like, hey, Cassie. keeps thinking about me.
Yeah, he's like, Cassie, I'll be okay. You do you, girl.
Well, he doesn't say you do you. He says, Cassie, please pine over me forever.
Pretty much.
Like, Phantom Ranger, if you're not, like, let this girl off the hook.
That ain't how Phantom Ranger do, man.
I guess. So he's gone. The thing goes out, and Cassie's like, yeah, all right. And she, like, skips back, and, like, Ashley and is, like gets her one of those, like, half hugs, which is just like, come on. Like,
you know you're never going to see him again, right?
You got
girl?
It bad. You're never seeing that dude again, though. You should probably get over it. And that's the end of the episode.
Yep.
So, Josh, I started.
You did.
So who, not who, what's the best?
The best is Andros. Wow.
Andros, wow.
No, I don't think that's actually the best. It was nice seeing Diva Talks again, I guess.
It was nice seeing Diva Talks again. I want to say the best is that the bad guys won one.
They followed through with the plan and it worked. I will actually give my best to Astronema for just like how nasty she was to the Phantom Ranger.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you're here alone? Good. Blast him into a tree. She blasts him so hard that he flew and hit, like, rib first into a tree.
She almost trainied that boy. What's the worst?
Hey, Cassie, keep thinking about me.
Yeah, that's real bad. That's because he literally says something to the effect of, like, keep thinking about, like, yeah, don't forget
I'll
about
always,
me. Keep,
I'll always be in your heart.
Keep me in your thoughts. And it's like, you're ditching her, but, like, then you want her to say, like,
that's bad.
Let it, like,
you're bad news, dude.
Yeah, you gotta go.
You're sending up some red flags there, Phantom Ranger.
Yeah, you gotta go. Who's the MVP?
That's a good question.
I'm saying Astronema. I think because
I think so. I bested her though, so I don't want to like do both.
That's why I didn't best her.
I want to give it to TJ for Andros. Wow,
gave us a lot of laughs. I'm gonna give it to Astronema for A, wrecking the Phantom Ranger, and then B, when Elgar called, she was like, Power Ranger on their way. All right, I got it.
Yeah, she
like immediately
she knows the deal.
Just like being competent and like knowing the deal at this point. And then also, like, her distraction worked. Like, she sent the right monster because it distracted them long enough. Like, yeah, they got a new Zord out of it, which is a bummer, but the Phantom Ranger is going to give that to him anyway. Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I want to love the Phantom Ranger, but I just don't like him.
He looks real cool, but, like...
But that's it. That's where it stops.
That's all he's got.
Everything after that is problems.
Wow.
I don't know if you knew this about the Phantom Ranger, but he can go invisible and then go invisible again.
Josh, I know. Josh, I know about that. We have a whole episode about it. Anyway, that's it. That's the end of the episode. So we will see you on Friday for The Great Evilizer.
Ooh.
Yeah. So I hope we get some bad Power Rangers, but I want them to be like bad, crappy teens Power Rangers.
Right. Like bad reflection on you kind of style.
That's my fave. Or my wildest
dreams. It's the regular Rangers, but with sunglasses.
But punkers.
Inside.
I want it to be another punker episode, like from season one.
Yeah.
Like when Kim and Billy became that's what I'm hoping it is. I don't know. But anyway, until then, may the power protect you.
Bye.
Baba Duke strikes again.
Old Grandma Duke.
Babushka Duke. Babushka Duke, we can too.
No.
Oh, I'm not going to change my Twitter handle again.